My name's Tim, and it's my privilege just to speak with you today and to open up God's Word today. We're on week three of our series called One, and please do catch up either on YouTube or through our website and on podcast as well with our series so far. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and the first six verses, one verse at a time. So week three, it's verse 3. And Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's good to remember the context of these verses. And if you look at verse 1, Ephesians 4, you'll see that Paul was writing this as a prisoner for the Lord. And he talked about one call and living this one life, the worthy life, and with humility and gentleness and patience. And even in prison, that's what struck me this week. Even in prison, he's writing about living this worthy life, encouraging the readers to if you like, go against the flow of their society, to live with humility and gentleness and patience, and perhaps challenging himself as well within the context of a prison environment and all that was going on for him, to continue to live with humility and gentleness and patience there as well. And to wrap it all up in tolerant love. And now he says that this attitude, this mindset, your decision to live in this way, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit, unbreakable, unstoppable. Paul knew he wasn't on his own in that place, that there was a bigger crowd of people who he was bound to, who there was unity with in this moment. Now, unity is never easy. It is something to work for, to make every effort for, and to pray for. And so that's what I want this message to be. It's one prayer, this prayer for unity, to make every effort to build it, to commit ourselves to keep it, because this is the key to living this worthy life, to fulfilling this calling, because we're not on our own. Paul in prison, isolated, alone, could have been very discouraged, disappointed and distracted. But he remembered what his calling was, to live this one life, to know that others are walking with him, standing with him, sitting with him, cheering him on, encouraging him, because it's not good for us to be alone and isolated and divided. And I think that's why Jesus prayed this prayer as well. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, we read, this is Jesus praying, my prayer is not for them, for the believers alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Well, that's an amazing prayer. And to know that it was Jesus who was praying this prayer earnestly, that we might be one, to have unity. And as a result of that unity, the world will know about Jesus. That's why I think it's worth making this one prayer with Jesus, that we might be one, that we might have unity. Over these last few months, of course, we've seen a lot of disunity in our world. There's been the challenges of the historic and present injustice towards the black community that we've been confronted with. We've seen division in politics seeming to get wider and wider and wider. We've seen the disproportionate impact of coronavirus in poorer nations and communities. And Jesus makes this one prayer for us to be one, so that the world might see who he is. This is something worth making the effort for, worth fighting for. There is a lot at stake as we take up the challenge of being united, of being a community where unity is at the heart of it. And it starts with me. It starts with you to make sure, make every effort to keep it. So how do we do that? How do we build unity, maintain it, keep it, treasure it. Well, I think unity moves us from exclusion to embrace. And we need to make that journey from exclusion to embrace. Jesus prays that they might also be in us. You know, we're welcome to be part of the Jesus life, the Jesus community. Jesus stretched out his hands to embrace us, to be part of his family. Those of us who felt excluded suddenly felt welcome, embraced. Yeah, as a grandparent, one of the tasks that grandparents have is to entertain their grandkids. A few tricks, a few jokes, a bit of goofy behaviour. Now, one of the things I remember that my granddad did for me, he performed this trick, and he would put an object just far enough away from him that he couldn't actually reach it with his hand. And then he would rub his elbow like this. And then he would stretch out his arm again, and somehow, magically, he could reach that object. He hadn't moved, but it was as if his arm had got longer. And I was beginning to think about that. I wonder how far we could stretch. You know, if you put your arms in the air now, and I'm going to trust that you're going to do it, and then put them in the air and then see if you can just stretch a bit further from how far you've stretched. And I guarantee all of you can reach a bit higher than we did to start with. If we just make the effort. If we just think about doing it a bit more. Paul, isolated in prison, knew he was still embraced by the people of God. Their arms stretched that far. He wasn't alone. And he became a witness to those guards because he wasn't alone. He had confidence and that determination to keep on doing what he'd been called to do, to preach the good news of Jesus. And it happened on the day of Pentecost, of course, as well. When the Holy Spirit came, we read in Acts 2 that 3,000 people were baptized and added to their number that day. Imagine being part of that original 12 that probably grew to about 500 by the time Jesus had died and risen again. And now suddenly we're going to 3,500 people. Your arms had to stretch out wide to embrace them, to include them. But stretch they did. And the early church was renowned for stretching, for the embrace of love. To say to people, you felt excluded, but we're going to include you in this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. You see how far their reach went now. Their embrace suddenly stretched further. It's important to remember we're part of something bigger, and we get to embrace people as a sign to the world that Jesus came and died and rose again and is alive. So let's make every effort to join in this one prayer of Jesus, not just words, but actions as well, so that once again, the Lord will add to our number daily those who are being saved. Yeah, Paul has this theme in several of his letters. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, he writes this. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. From exclusion to embrace, two have become one. Jesus prayed for it, he died for it, and he urges us to stretch out, to embrace. Secondly, I think unity moves us from brokenness to belonging. The great philosopher Hal David, accompanied by music from Burke Bacharach, said this, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." Jesus prayed in his prayer in John 17, so that they may be brought to complete unity, one, Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. Paul writes, keep the unity of the Spirit. See, it's already been attained by Jesus. Our job is to maintain it and to grow it, to keep it, this unity of the Spirit. Perhaps we've become too accustomed to division. I mean, even in Christianity. I was reading the other day that there are around 33,000 different Christian denominations in the world today. 33,000 different denominations? Well, we do have differences, of course, but we must not allow differences to become division. And Jesus isn't praying for uniformity, he's praying for unity. Now, it's obvious we don't all support the same team. It's obvious we don't all like the same music. I'm sorry you don't like 1970s music, but that was the pinnacle of music, of course. We don't all watch the same TV programs. We don't all vote the same way. But we can still sit in the same room with each other and love each other, even if we think they're wrong. We don't need to agree about everything to have unity. But we do need to live the unity of a common commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's what we invite people to become part of. No matter what their past has been, no matter what our differences, people can move from brokenness to belonging. We work to defend and develop it. We cannot live in a way that denies the work of Jesus on the cross. Because if we do, then the world will not see Jesus. Our mission will be compromised. Our witness will not deserve to be heard. And healing comes when we invite people to belong. Paul writes in Romans 15, verse 7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. He wrote in Romans 5, 8, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You belong. In a broken world, the church provides a place of belonging. The church banner must declare, you are welcome. You belong to the family. This period of COVID-19 has meant keeping our distance from others physically. And every time I go out for a walk these days, I'm feeling more like a religious person than the Good Samaritan. I'm passing by on the other side. So these extraordinary times call for extraordinary answers and how we, the church, help people to feel that they belong. It's time to rejoice with those who rejoice, even at a distance. It's time to mourn with those who mourn at a distance, to multiply our effort to make contact with people from a distance. Perhaps people we once knew, but we've lost touch with. Perhaps people who we know are feeling broken, to tell them, no, you can belong, to respond to the Holy Spirit's nudge, to make a phone call. How often have you called someone and their first words have been, I was just thinking about you? Or you've called someone at just the right moment because something has happened and they needed to share it with you. Jesus said, John 13, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. From brokenness to belonging, a place to find healing and welcome. That's the prayer Jesus prayed, and that's the prayer that we can be part of an answer to. And finally, I think unity moves us from hostility to hospitality. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, every day they, this new 3,500 strong church, continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. From hostility to hospitality. We keep this unity. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:3, through the bond of peace. Jesus prayed that we would welcome him into our lives and that we would reflect the relationship he had with his Father, this relationship of one. Do you know the sign language for unity is this? It's your forefinger and thumb on both hands interlocked together. That's the sign of unity, the bond of peace. The image in that Greek word for bond is of prisoners bound together by chains. So not surprising, perhaps, that Paul had that image in mind, chained to the prison guards. He cannot go anywhere without the person you're linked to. He had to walk with the guard, stand with the guard, sit to the guard. The guard had to be with him all the time. They ate together, they slept together, they did everything together. Instead of groaning, complaining about the person you're linked to, it seemed like Paul enjoyed it or celebrated it. Yeah, our car broke down this week. It started groaning as we drove it. It was clear something was broken. It may have been breaking for a long time, something weakening, cracking, until that moment when everything fell apart and it gave way. The unseen crack needed repairing. I wonder if there's a broken relationship that is in desperate need of repair. I wonder whether the links of peace, the bond of peace, have somehow got broken and they need mending again. Is there someone you need to sit down with and break bread with? Someone who perhaps is even hostile, who you can offer hospitality to in some way, even at a distance? Perhaps it's a family member or a neighbour or a colleague or a friend. Because broken relationships hurt. You may never know what broke it, but you can begin to repair it. Let me offer you just some steps to try and put back that peace, that bond of peace, to be repaired better than it was before. Firstly, react quickly. As far as you can, keep short accounts with people. As soon as something goes wrong, do something about it. React quickly. Secondly, engage purposefully in the issue. Even if you don't feel it's your fault, sit, listen to what has gone wrong. Engage purposefully. Take it seriously. Thirdly, speak openly in private with one another. Don't blab about it. Don't ask 10 people to pray about it and tell them what it is. Matthew 18 says, go to the person. Because if it's not resolved, then take someone with you. But try face to face. Then, fourthly, overcome your doubts easily. Think the best about the other person as you go in for this conversation. Perhaps there's one fact more that you didn't know that you need to know. It's not an excuse for what's happened, but it may be a reason why the relationship has broken down. Fifthly, look positively to make a resolution. This isn't about who wins and loses. This is not a battle, an argument to have success over, someone to conquer. This is about how do we make this resolution between us. Then value honesty. Do what you can. Apologise. Accept an apology. Truth mustn't be sacrificed, but you can apologise to one another. Gather around the truth. It's the best thing to do. And finally, emerge from the conversation truthfully. Where are we now? What do we need to do next? What are the next steps we can take? I mean, this may take time, but can I urge you to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit with somebody else through the bond of peace? Repair what's broken. Move from hostility to hospitality. Resolve to take those steps. Now, just as in music, clashes are meant to resolve and disharmony creates tension in that moment, but then moves to harmony, we can move from hostility to hospitality. 1 Peter 4 verse 9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Yeah, the Greek word for hospitality, philoxenos, means to love strangers. And you can offer hospitality and maybe a stranger turns into a friend. Resolve the clash, unwind the tension, step closer. If we're to do what Paul urges us to do, to make every effort to keep the unity through the bond of peace, if we're going to be part of the answer to the one prayer that Jesus made for us to be one, if we're to help the whole world know Jesus, then let's make every effort to make this our one prayer, to make this our one goal, to put into practice for it to become reality. The enemy, he wants to exclude you. He wants people to be broken and hostility to exist. He wants to isolate and separate and divide and disperse. But unity is unstoppable. And it glorifies God and it makes Jesus known. Our unity, it's found in Jesus. And through our unity, we show the world just who Jesus is. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Make that your prayer, your one prayer, so that we may become one and stay one, and the world will see Jesus. Let's pray together. Perhaps today you're someone who feels excluded. You feel the brokenness of damaged relationships. Perhaps you haven't felt the embrace of Jesus in your life. Well, today you can find forgiveness and freedom. You can find embrace. You can find belonging. You can find healing because of Jesus and his death on the cross. For you today, Jesus' arms are open wide. He loves you. He died for you. He forgives you today. Step into that freedom and experience becoming one with Jesus. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit, knowing his love. Some of us today, we have broken relationships and we need healing. Some of us, our bodies are hurting and we need healing. Some of us, we're not sure of our futures, but we need each other. So take the first step. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, and you will know peace in your life and have the confidence to work towards what Jesus has prayed for. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you desire for us to be one with you and with each other so that the world might know Jesus. I pray that you will help us to be one, that you will fill us with your power to make every effort to keep this unity of the Spirit. And I pray, Jesus, that you would enable us to know we're part of this incredible family that can fight for love and for witness in your world. Keep us one. Keep us strong. May this world know you, Jesus, through our lives and in all we do. In your name, amen. I'd love to help you take some next steps, perhaps with this issue in particular, or maybe there's something else. So do let us know how we can help, and contact us with inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. And we'd love to help you take some next steps. Put into practice God's word, and it will make a difference.